Svastyastu Vishvasya Kalapasidatam Dhyayantu Bhutani Shivam Mitodhya Manasabhadram Bhajatat Adoksaje Adeshyatam No Matir Apya Haipati Svastyastu Vishvasya Kalapasidatam Dhyayantu Bhutani Shivam Mitodhya Manascha Bhadram Bhajatat Adhoksaje Aveshitam No Matir Apyahaituki. Please repeat. Swasti.
Swasti.
Auspiciousness.
Auspiciousness.
Astu.
Astu.
Let there be.
Let there be.
Vishvasya.
Vishvasya.
Of the entire universe.
Of the entire universe.
Kala.
Kala.
The envious.
The envious.
Almost everyone.
Almost everyone.
Translation is the envious, and then in parentheses, Srila Prabhupada put almost everyone. Vasidatam.
Vasidatam.
Let them be pacified.
Let them be pacified.
Dhyayantu.
Dhyayantu.
Let them consider.
Let them consider.
Bhutani.
Bhutani.
All the living entities.
All the living entities.
Shivam.
Shivam.
Auspiciousness.
Auspiciousness.
Mita.
Mita.
Mutual.
Mutual.
Dhyā.
Dhyā.
By their intelligence.
By their intelligence.
Manha.
Manha.
The mind.
The mind.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Bhadram.
Bhadram.
Calmness.
Calmness.
Bhajatat.
Bhajatat.
Let it experience.
Let it experience.
Advokshaje.
Advokshaje.
In the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
In the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Who is beyond the perception of the mind.
Beyond the perception of the mind.
Intelligence.
Intelligence.
And senses.
And senses.
Aveshyatam.
Aveshyatam.
Let it be absorbed.
Let it be absorbed.
Na.
Na.
Our.
Our.
Mati.
Mati.
Intelligence.
Intelligence.
Api.
Api.
Indeed.
Indeed.
I to key.
I to key.
Without any motive.
Without any motive.
Translation. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. Now, if you want to come in, there is space. So please repeat. May there be good fortune.
May there be good fortune.
Throughout the universe.
Throughout the universe.
And may all envious persons.
May all envious persons.
Be pacified.
Be pacified.
May all living entities.
May all living entities.
Become calm.
Become calm.
By practicing Bhakti Yoga.
By practicing Bhakti Yoga.
For by accepting devotional service.
For by accepting devotional service.
They will think of each other's welfare.
They will think of each other's welfare.
Therefore, let us all engage.
Therefore, let us all engage.
In the service of the Supreme Transcendence.
In the service of the Supreme Transcendence.
Lord Sri Krishna.
Lord Sri Krishna.
And always remain absorbed.
And always remain absorbed.
In thought of Him.
In thought of Him.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The following verse describes a Vaishnava. If you know this verse, you can chant it with me. Vancha kalpa tarusyascha
yuvasindhubhyevacha vandhitanam bhaveyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.
Just like a desire tree, a Vaishnava can fulfill all the desires of anyone who takes shelter of his lotus feet. Prahlad Maharaj is a typical Vaishnava. He prays not for himself, but for all living entities, the gentle, the envious, and the mischievous. He always thought of the welfare of mischievous persons like his father, Hiranyakasipu. Prahlad Maharaj did not ask for anything for himself. Rather, he prayed for the Lord to excuse his demoniac father. This is the attitude of a Vaishnava, who always thinks of the welfare of the entire universe. Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Dharma are meant for persons who are completely free of envy. Parama Nirmat Saranam. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays in this verse, Kala Prasidatam. May all the envious persons be satisfied. The material world is full of envious persons, but if one frees himself of envy, he becomes liberal in his social dealings and can think of others' welfare. Anyone who takes up Krishna consciousness and engages himself completely in the service of the Lord cleanses his mind of all envy. Manas chabhadram adhitat adhomsajay. So, practically everyone in the material world is envious. In fact, we are in the material world because we are envious of the Supreme or Krishna. And being envious of Krishna, we are envious of everyone else. Our very being are permeated by envy, beginning with our envy of Krishna. And the way to become free from envy is to engage in devotional service to fix the mind and the intelligence and the full consciousness on Krishna. But in order to engage in bhakti yoga, one must be free from envy. Nirmatsaranam. Bhagavad Dharma, Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Dharma is meant for those who are free from envy. And therefore, Prahlad begins his prayer, that let all envious persons become pacified. Because only if their envy is subdued can they engage in bhakti yoga. Anyone who takes up Krishna consciousness and engages himself completely in the service of the Lord cleanses his mind of all envy. Manas chabadram patitad atoksate. Therefore, we should pray to Lord Nrisimhadev to sit in our hearts. Now, Lord Nrisimhadev is a form of Krishna. And it is a special form of Krishna who is meant to protect the devotees and to annihilate the demons. Demons means envious persons who are against God and against devotional service and against devotees. Is there anyone who's in one of our classes for the first time? Is there any new person here who's never been to any one of our programs before? So, this particular form of the Lord appeared to protect Prahlad Maharaj from his father, who was envious of him. He was envious of the Lord, and envious even of his own son. And he did come, and he killed the demon Hiranyakasipu and saved the devotee. But when Hiranyakasipu was killed, Nrisimhadev asked Prahlad to accept some benediction. And Prahlad did not want to accept any benediction. He said that I serve you only for the sake of serving you, because it is my natural position to serve you. If I serve you to get something in return, I wouldn't be a real servant. I would be a merchant, making some exchange with you. So I don't want to be a merchant. I want to be a pure servant. And a pure master also will not give something material in return for service, but a pure master will also only reciprocate on the platform of pure love. But then Prahlad said, I do, and the Lord insisted, and then finally Prahlad said, then I do have one request. That is that you excuse my father, who engaged in many heinous activities, committed offenses offenses against you and also against me, your devotee. So, Prahlad didn't ask for anything for himself. But rather, he asked for something for his envious father, which means that he was thinking of everyone's welfare. If he could think of the welfare of the person who tried to kill him in so many ways, that it means he's thinking of the welfare of everyone. Now, because we have come into the material world being envious of Krishna, so that demonic tendency that was exhibited fully by the demon Hiranyakasipu also exists in us, at least in some subtle form. And therefore devotees pray to Lord Nrisimhadev, not just to protect them from the demons outside, but also to protect them from the demons inside, our own, you know, selfish, egoistic, materialistic tendencies. And so this comes next. Anyone who takes up Krishna consciousness and engages himself completely in the service of the Lord cleanses his mind of all envy. Manas chabadram bhajatad adhoksaje. Therefore, we should pray to Lord Nrisimhadev to sit in our hearts. We should pray Bahir Nrisimho Hridaye Nrisimha. Now this is a song, or a line from a song that devotees sing every day. Bahir Nrisimho Hridaye Nrisimha. So who, without looking on your iPhone, can tell me what those words mean? Yes, what is your name?
Kushi? Do you know what Kushi means?
Happy.
Are you happy? Huh? Sometimes.
All right. Well. So what does it mean? By hearing the signal? Yes. By here, he's outside. The Shrinidad is outside. Hridaye. And he's also in your heart. Kushi, what do you have to do to be happy all the time? Pray to Lord Krishna. Are you going to do that? Okay. You're smiling, it means you're starting. Therefore, we should pray to Lord Nrisimhadev to sit in our hearts. We should pray by hearing Nrisimho Hridaye Nrisimha. Let Lord Nrisimhadev sit in the core of my heart, killing all my bad propensities. Let my mind become clean so that I may peacefully worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire world. Because sometimes people want peace, and everyone wants peace. But we have to begin by making peace with God, by becoming peaceful within ourselves, and then we can be peaceful in the world. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given a very fine purport in this regard. Whenever one offers a prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one always requests some benediction from him. Did you all hear that? Someone raise your hand and tell me what I just heard. You all said you heard it. What did you hear? Yes. Whenever one offers a prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one always requests some benediction from him. Even pure Nishkam devotees pray for some benediction. As instructed by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshastaka. If you know this verse, you can chant it with me. Ai nanda tanja chintaram chitam ma vishame bhavam kudo vibhaya tava adapam kudra sikhasikunisadisham vishintaya. O son of Maharaj Nanda, Krishna, I am your eternal servant, yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from the ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is acting as the ideal devotee himself, shows us that when he prays to the Lord, he asks for some benediction. So in the verse we just recited, what is the benediction that he asked for? Yes, Kushi? Yes. That Krishna should pick him up from the ocean of birth and death and place him as one of the atoms at his lotus feet. And who can think of another prayer in the Shikshastaka in which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks for a benediction? In another prayer, who's the fortunate parents of this young lady? Are they here? Huh? Where is he? Okay. All right. Well, you can. So she has lifted after the events divine in the Prabhupada's purport. In another prayer, Lord Chaitanya says, In another prayer, Lord Chaitanya says, Manma Janmani Janmanishwari Bhavatad Bhaktirai Tuki Twain. Life after life, kindly let me have unalloyed love and devotion at your Lordship's lotus feet. In other words, he doesn't pray even for liberation. Although he did say, pick me up from the ocean of repeated birth and death, but that's really to engage in devotional service. Because here he says, I only want to serve you birth after birth. That's all I want. I want your bhakti. I hate to keep right without any cause, without any motive, just to serve. When Prahlad Maharaj chants Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya, he prays for a benediction from the Lord. But because he is also an exalted Vaishnava, he wants nothing for his personal sense gratification.
down, please?
I am appointing this big, strong man to deal with any children who get up for no reason. So be warned. But if you want to, it's okay. I was just saying, but I didn't really. All right, so now, the first desire expressed in his prayer is Swasti Astu Vishvasya, let there be good fortune throughout the entire universe. Prahlad Maharaj thus requested the Lord to be merciful to everyone, including his father, a most envious person. According to Chanakya Pandit, there are two kinds of envious living entities. Now, who knows what the two kinds of envious living entities are? Raise your hand. My dear devotees, you are too pure. You don't think about envious people. Yes? Yes, a snake and an envious person. And of the two, which is more dangerous? Yes. According to Chanakya Pandit, there are two kinds of envious living entities. One is a snake, and the other is the man like Hiranyakasipu, who is by nature envious of everyone, even of his father or son. Hiranyakasipu was envious of his little son, Prahlad. But Prahlad Maharaj asked a benediction for the benefit of his father. Hiranyakasipu was very envious of devotees, but Prahlad wished that his father and other demons like him would give up their envious nature by the grace of the Lord and stop harassing the devotees. Prahlad proceeded to him. The difficulty is that the Kala, envious living entity, is rarely pacified. One kind of Kala, a snake, can be pacified simply by mantras or the action of a particular herb. Mantra sadhi, right? Vasa sarpa kalakena vivarjate. An envious person, however, cannot be pacified by any means. Therefore, Prahlad prays that all envious persons may undergo a change of heart and think of the welfare of others. Now, the next paragraph raises a very interesting question. If the Krishna consciousness movement spreads all over the world, and if by the grace of Krishna everyone accepts it, the thinking of envious people will change. Everyone will think of the welfare of others. I've heard, I don't know if it's true, but I suppose it's true because I've heard it from a reliable source, that the young people today are very disturbed by the election campaign. They're very, very discouraged by the election campaign because they don't like any of the leading candidates. They think that they're just, you know, just going to be in the, you know, in the hands of some exploitative person. So it's so in other words, we do need a change. That we need a change. But that change can be effected only with a change of consciousness. Otherwise, pretty much, you know, it will be one or the other. There won't be much difference. I remember in India, there was a period when Indira Gandhi was the prime minister. She called the state of emergency. The emergency was that people didn't like her. So she called, she declared a state of emergency and put everyone who didn't like her in jail on the plea of national security. And then there was a period where, in which, you know, everyone was flattering her because they had no choice. And, you know, it sort of went to her head that, you know, that people like her. And so she removed the state of emergency and she called for elections. And in the elections, she was defeated. And, you know, a coalition against her came into power. And when this sequence of events took place, Srila Prabhupada commented that people are jubilant. You know, the lion is gone, the lion is gone. But they don't know that in place of the lion, now they have a tiger. In other words, there won't be any improvement. They're all the same because they're all basically envious, materialistic people. I mean, that may not apply to the present prime minister. I do reserve judgment. But often that's the case, that there's really no choice because we're just dealing with kala, envious, as Srila Prabhupada says, almost everyone. So, the solution is, if the Krishna consciousness movement spreads all over the world, and if by the grace of Krishna everyone accepts it, the thinking of envious people will change. Everyone will think of the welfare of others. This is one of the, you know, phenomenon in elections, is that everyone is saying, you know, I will do better service to the nation. I will do better service to the people. But externally they're saying they'll do better service, but internally they're thinking, you know, how they can exploit. I'll do better service to the people, but they're thinking, I'll do pretty good for myself if I become the president. But I don't mean to focus on any particular class of people. Maybe it's the influence of the neighborhood. But it's true everywhere. You know, it's true everywhere. But the real solution, wherever, is Krishna consciousness. Then everyone will think of the welfare of others. One of the basic principles of politics is friends and enemies. And Prahlad Maharaj was being trained by his father the teachers appointed by his father in the science of politics, which is based on friends and enemies. But Prahlad, he found himself incapable of thinking in terms of friends and enemies. He felt that everyone should be friendly with everyone else, because everyone is naturally a servant of Krishna, and so everyone should engage in the service of Krishna, and then be friendly with each other. In material activities, everyone is envious of others. But in Krishna consciousness, no one is envious of anyone else. Everyone thinks of the welfare of others, like Prahlad Maharaj or Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays that everyone's mind may become gentle by being fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. As indicated elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam, Savayamana Krishna Padara Vindayo, and as advised by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, 1865, Manmana Bhava Madhavata, one should constantly think of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Then one's mind will certainly be cleansed. Chaito Dharthano Marjana. So this is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means always thinking of Krishna. And by always thinking of Krishna, Chaito Dharthano Marjana, our consciousness will be purified and we will become happy and we will think of the welfare of others. And that's why we have a temple here. That's why we're undertaking the new temple, to give people a chance to come and think of Krishna and become happy and peaceful and bring peace to the world. That's the only motive. There's no other motive. It's just to give people a chance to become Krishna conscious. And so the devotees are so selfless. You know, it must take a lot of effort, you know, to get the architectural drawings made and then get the permits from the government and organize all the materials and all the contractors and the funds, organizing the funds. So it's a lot of effort, a lot of endeavor. But that is the merciful nature of a Vaishnava, who wants to do good for others by spreading Krishna consciousness. And this is how. In Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada was living in a grass hut. And the disciples built, you know, a nice building with marble floors. And Srila Prabhupada, he didn't want to move. He said, I'm very happy in my grass hut, why should I move? And, you know, different disciples gave different answers. He rejected all the answers. He said, I'm not moving. That big building that's like in the Rajagun, the mode of passion. I like my grass hut, it's in the Sakura. Then finally, one of the disciples said, well, Srila Prabhupada, if you just stay in this grass hut, very few people will come to hear you. But if you move into the new building, then more people will come and they'll hear your message and then they'll benefit. So on that basis, Srila Prabhupada agreed to move. He said, otherwise I'm more happy in my grass hut. So it's for the sake of others that Vaishnavas take the pains to construct these opulent buildings. Materialists always think of sense gratification, but Prahlad Maharaj prays that the Lord's mercy will change their minds and they will stop thinking of sense gratification. If they think of Krishna always, everything will be all right. Some people argue that if everyone thought of Krishna in that way, the whole universe would be vacated because everyone would go back home, back to Godhead. Sometimes people actually raise this question, what if everyone became a devotee? What would happen to the world? However, Srila Vishwanatha Chakrabarti Thakur says that this is impossible. It's impossible that the world will become vacant because everyone goes back to Godhead. Why? Because the living entities are innumerable. If one set of living entities is actually delivered by the Krishna consciousness movement, another set will fill the entire universe. They don't have to worry about that. There are like many, many times when people would raise this question in India. Like once at the Kumbh Mela, somebody raised the same question to Srila Prabhupada. Well, what if everyone became, a Krishna conscious devotee? You know, who would work in the factories? You know, who would do this? Who would do that? And Srila Prabhupada said, it's like asking if everyone became rich, who would be the chauffeur to drive the rich man? Does anyone not want to become rich for fear that if everyone becomes rich, then who will be the chauffeur to drive the rich man? And he said that is not the problem, that too many people will become Krishna conscious. The problem is that too few people will become Krishna conscious. That is the problem. But as I think it was in Houston, near Dallas and Houston, but I was at an event with His Holiness Radhanath Swami, and he told the story that he was asked to deliver a talk at a school of accountants. And, he gave his talk, and then one of the students got up and said, I completely disagree with everything you've said. What you have said is completely wrong. And I'm totally against what you said. And, you're just cheating people. And you should not say these things. And he stood up and all the other students cheered and applauded. And he said, the reason what you're saying is wrong and why I'm so against it is if everyone became a devotee, who would till the fields? Who would do this? Who would do that? But, the whole world would come to a stop. So as Radhanath Swami describes it, he's really on the spot, so he said a little prayer to Krishna, how do I respond to this? And then he got an answer. And then he said, what if everyone in the world became an accountant? Who would till the fields? Who would work in the factories? Who would do all the other things? There would be no one to do anything. And in fact, there would be nothing for the accountants to do either, because there would be no one doing anything for them to keep account of. So this is a totally false argument. Nobody was either. And I dare say that the underlying basis of that argument, and pretty much any argument against Krishna consciousness, is envy. And so, but the only solution to the envious people is Krishna consciousness. And therefore, Prahlad prays to the Lord to pacify them. And not only does he pray, but he also thinks of ways how to engage them in devotional service. And so our devotees here, following that same line of Prahlad Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada, they're trying to build this temple and you know, promote so many activities, festivals for distribution, sad distribution, so that people can become calm and peaceful and happy in Krishna consciousness and think of the welfare of others. And this is the 50th anniversary of Srila Prabhupada's founding ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, very significant. It's the 40th anniversary of Srila Prabhupada's visit to this very temple. We saw these same deities of Gaurini Pai. Shishi Gaurini Pai, You are sitting in the same room that Srila Prabhupada was in 40 years ago. I mean, this is like a holy place, a sacred place. His energy is still here, inspiring all of the devotees. So thank you very much. Exemplify what we've been talking about, we will chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in unison. Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you very much. So do any of you have any thoughts you would like to share? Any reflections? Any comments? Any questions? Yes.
Thank you for a very good talk. I have one more comment.
Yes,
please. Comment of Swami Hari.
Yes.
That when the envious person is compared to the color compared with the snake and darkness, so there is in the Shloka I learned in early school days. That Saptakasya Visham Dante. That the Visham, the poison, is localized in the bank of the snake. Rishikasya Visham Purche. And the poison localized in the scorpion state. Maktikaya Sabhaktake Sarvange Suljanakyata. But for the color or it's everywhere in the whole body.
Wow. Do we have a traveling microphone? Anyway, I'll repeat it. I won't be able to quote the Sanskrit, but a very nice shloka that he learned in school from Hitopadesh. And that says that in a serpent, the poison is localized in the fangs. And in a scorpion, the poison is localized in the tail. But in an envious person, the poison is everywhere. So he's highlighting the dangerous, poisonous effects of envious people. Any other additions?
Should devotees go to Kumbh Mela?
Should devotees go to Kumbh Mela? Well, it depends on their motive. But if they're going to preach Krishna consciousness, it could be a good opportunity. Srila Prabhupada went both times. Means he returned to India in late 1970, so he went in 1971 to the Ardha Kumbh Mela, and then it just so happened that 1977 was Maha Kumbh Mela. Every 12 years is full Kumbh Mela, and every 12 Kumbh Melas, that's every 144 years, is Maha Kumbh Mela. So that was in 1977. And he said that actually our only real interest is in going is to preach. He did. Any other questions or comments? Yes, David Prospect.
So, this envy in some of us is very deeply rooted in the heart. Short of a lot of spiritual parts, how can we move it out?
Well, I think of a few things that Srila Prabhupada said about envy. One was that we should give credit where credit is due. Otherwise, we become envious. He said that in relation to... Anyway, I won't give the context, but he said that. And another thing he said was that if you have knowledge and you don't share it with others, you become envious. So this is something that we can all keep in mind, that if we have knowledge and we don't share it with others, we become envious. I mean, it will, because envy means keeping someone down. So if we have knowledge that could bring them up and we don't share it, then it means we're keeping them down. That's like envy. Of course, we might think that, they might not want to hear what I have to say, and that could be the case. But still, we have to find, the ways that we can say it somehow. And once I asked you about envy, I had been thinking about it quite seriously. In Surat, India. And so I asked about envy. And he said, can you think of any reasons not to be envious? And I said, yes, because I had been thinking about it. And so the different reasons I thought of included that Krishna is unlimited. So Krishna's service is unlimited. So if some other devotee gets some service, it doesn't mean that my chances of doing service have been diminished, because Krishna's service is unlimited. And also I realized that if I had envy towards someone, it would disturb my relationship with the person. Even if I tried to control it and not act upon it, but still it would somehow have made some subtle disturbance in my relationship. So that was like another reason not to be envious. And it wasn't, I felt unhappy with myself, and I didn't like the feeling of having envy in my heart. I felt that envy was like a disturbance. It was a contamination. It was a bummer. So I'd already thought of these different points, and then when Srila Prabhupada asked me, have you thought of any reasons why not to be envious? So I just said yes. And he said, all right, then envy means that you don't like someone. And that not liking should not be directed towards devotees. But that not liking should be directed towards demons who are creating so much havoc in the world and creating so much difficulty for the devotees. So that was his answer to me when I asked. And that doesn't refer to something uncontrolled, but it means like channeling that energy into improving the world. That's really what it comes to. Yes.
Maharaj, how do we deal with envy with regard
to... One other nice example I think of sometimes is that say someone is over you, and so you're holding on to their feet. So like if you're envying, you want to pull them down. But by pulling them down, you're also going down. But instead of trying to pull them down, if you support them, like to push them up, then it means you're also going up.
Mark, how do we deal with these emotions that, I don't know if they're envy, but like if somebody's traveling to Vrindavan during Karthik, you get this feeling that I wish I could do that, or somebody's associated with spiritual master getting some personal mercy. You wish you were there in that spot. I guess that's envy as well, and how do we deal with that spiritual envy or whatever?
Well, I mean, in a way it's envy, but what it really is that you're not, in a way, well, if we continue on the theme of envy, we could say it's ultimately envy of Krishna, because Krishna is the cause of all causes, but I think it's more a matter of maybe lack of faith. A lack of gratitude for what you do have. And you're focusing on what you don't have, but you have so much. So, it's better to feel grateful for what you have and, take advantage of what you have than be thinking what you don't have and what someone else has that you don't have. Or you can think of how to get that, how to get to Vrindavan, how to get that association. But when there's envy, it's sort of like, because the motive is maybe wrong, so even if you get it, you won't get the benefit if your motive was wrong in the first place. Any other questions or comments? Oh, yes, sir.
What do you do?
What is your name?
My name is Shiva.
Shiva? That's auspicious.
What do you do when a person is envious of you and mistreats you for it? How do you treat them in a way that would be good?
Well, Well, that's actually a good question. I mean, the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam says that if you don't have anything, then people won't be envious of you. So, so it's good not to have anything for yourself. You know, if whatever you have is for Krishna, then even then some people might be envious, but it's different because you won't have any, you'll be detached. And, you know, a lot of the time it works to, you know, just smile and accept it. I mean, it does happen sometimes that in a marriage, one of the spouses will be inclined to Krishna consciousness and the other will not be. And so the one who's not inclined will often find fault with Krishna consciousness and, you know, maybe even try to provoke the spouse. And I always suggest that, you know, the best thing you can do in general, the best thing you can do in general is to be calm and happy. That will speak volumes in favor of Krishna consciousness. And, you know, depending on the situation, I suggest just smile and agree with everything. You know, if the spouse says, you know, these devotees are bad people, just smile and say, yes, you're right. You shouldn't go to the temple. You shouldn't associate. Yes, you're right. Just smile and just agree with everything. And then you go to the temple anyway, but you won't have that friction. And it's even in Srimad Bhagavatam, right? In one of the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, that if friends and family members give you advice, to lead a more materialistic way of life, superficially you should agree and say, yes, this is very good advice. But internally you should remain fixed in your conviction not to create any complications for your spiritual way of life. So, as we progress in Krishna consciousness, we become more aware of our own anarthas. You know, as my godbrother Burinjan Prabhu, who conducts many japa retreats, says that when you really go deep in japa and you see how much dirt is there and how bad you are, then when someone else criticizes you, you think, if he only knew what I'm really like, he would be saying much worse things about me. But he doesn't really know, so this is like mild. And, yeah, another thing Srila Prabhupada said is that we see things as like a result of our own past activities, karma. He said, you know, never be angry at the instrument of your karma. In other words, if you think that the other person is doing it, then you could, you know, be angry. But if you think that the other person is acting as an instrument to teach you something, then you can accept it in a positive way. And sometimes it happens. I mean, I have many of my own stories, but I could quote one from His Holiness Duranjan Swami, that he was This was like in the early days, and he was, I think the same here, Tom, he was going out, you know, all week distributing books from morning to night. And for some reason, the temple president was always speaking bad things about him. And, you know, it was just like really, really disturbing to him. And, you know, this went on, and whenever he would come to the Boston Temple, the temple president would just really say horrible things about him. So one day, not one day, but one time, a verse came up about something like about envy. And Narendra Swami had to give the class on that verse. Oh no, it wasn't exactly about envy. It was about tolerating insults. It was about tolerating insults. And it like completely fit the situation that he was experiencing. And so, you know, as he was giving that class, he was getting like so many realizations, and like he felt that internally he was being caressed, you know, embraced. He was just experiencing this like intense nectar. And then after that, the temple presidents just sort of stopped criticizing him. So sometimes that happens where something appears to come up against us from an envious person, but we're meant to learn something from that. And when we learn what we're meant to learn, then that external harassment or pressure that's been put on us can be relieved. And I heard a nice phrase just earlier today. Sometimes in the circle of devotees will take something that Prabhupada said and use it as an instrument to, you know, defeat another devotee or put another devotee down or suppress another devotee. And to really understand what Prabhupada wants, you can't just take one quote. You have to see the whole body of what Prabhupada said on the subject and understand the context in which he said it, and then try to understand how Prabhupada would deal in a certain situation. So he said it's like children have the Prabhupada said snowball fight. So can't take it too seriously. Is that all right, or?
No, thank you very much.
Okay, Sheila. Any other questions or comments?
Yeah.
All right. So the gentleman who's arguing with Prabhupada, he was saying, everyone became Krishna conscious of what we're doing. But, so I just wanted to add that he had a misunderstanding between what is the dharma of the living entity, what is the dharma prescribed like for the body.
Oh yeah, well that's a good point. In relation to that question, what if everyone became a devotee, who would till the field, who would work in the factories? Being a devotee doesn't really mean that you don't work in the fields or in the factory. you know, our eternal occupation is to serve Krishna. But you can do that acting as a farmer, or, you know, acting as a businessman, or doing anything. So in that sense, it's not even true that if everyone became a devotee, that they would be going to live in the fields. So that's what you were saying.
It's about the books.
Oh, okay. So there's three books. The first is called Watering the Seed, and the title comes from Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Rupa Goswami that you, the Bhakti Lata Beach, you take the seed of the devotion and you plant it and then you water it by chanting and hearing about Krishna. And so this, at many exchanges between me and Srila Prabhupada and talks on different topics. Like, there's one called Pure Servant, Pure Master. It's about that exchange between Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Krishna today. And, then this one is called Many Moons. And of course, there's a saying, like, if a long time passes, you say many moons. Like, I heard it the other day, so it's been many moons since I saw you. So that's one meaning, but the deeper meaning, if you will, is that Srila Prabhupada would quote a verse from Chanakya, one moon can light up the darkness of night more than thousands of little stars. And so Srila Prabhupada would put out and say that, you know, he doesn't want, you know, thousands of cheap disciples who are like twinkling stars that don't really shed any light, but he wanted one moon. And so that was like a big question, whether Srila Prabhupada would get that one moon. And then in one talk, Srila Prabhupada said, you know, I was thinking if I'll get one moon, but by the grace of Krishna now, many moons. And this in particular is about 9 followers of Srila Prabhupada who left their bodies. And so there's, first is Jayananda Prabhu, then His Holiness Guru Govinda Swami Maharaj, Srimad Krishna Goswami Maharaj, Sridhar Swami Maharaj, Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, Bhakti Sri Damodar Swami Maharaj. And then there are 3 grand disciples. One was initiated by the Mother Archidibraha. She was a European lady from South Africa, and she passed away in Vrindavan, and it was actually her sort of dying wish that there should be a hospice in Vrindavan, and that led to the Bhaktivedanta Hospice. And then Mother Kirtida, she's a disciple of Tamal Krishna Goswami. She's also from South Africa, but of Indian origin, and she left her body in Dallas. And then a wonderful devotee named Abhiram Thakur. He was Bengali from Pakistan, west Pakistan. And so I would go there, and he was very sweet. He was a very rare person because he was like exemplary, very detached as a grihastha, then as a vanaprastha. And so yeah, this is the story of these nine. Oh yes, and this one, there's a foreword written by His Holiness Radhanath Swami, and this one there's a foreword written by Bhakti Vrinda Govinda Swami. And this is life's final exam. There's a verse. Who can guess what is life's final exam? Yes. Yeah. Exactly. So there's a Bengali verse like sadhan koro bhajan koro. Whatever sadhana and bhajan you do is very good. But the real test will come at the time of death, if you're able to remember Krishna. And that's why it's so important to chant and hear with attention, not just externally making a show. But Srila Prabhupada gave the example that, that a parrot can learn to say Hare Krishna. Say the whole Hare Krishna. But if a cat attacks that parrot, there's no Hare Krishna. It's a ah, 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 ah. So he was saying that our, you know, our chanting shouldn't be like that, like a parrot, and then when death comes, there's no Hare Krishna. Ah. It has to be, you know, from the heart, you know, so that when death comes, that's in our heart and that will come out. But this has many elements to it. There's cultural aspects, philosophical aspects, there's a story of the hospice, and then there's testimonies of devotees who took care of other devotees who were dying. Not only taking care of devotees, but even taking care of other relatives. Like, there's one, Keshava Bharati Das Goswami, he took care of his mother, who was a Christian, and then in the end she became a devotee. And then there's, I took care of my parents separately. And they were Jewish, but they stayed Jewish, but they, in their own way, they had very auspicious departures. And then there was one by another couple. The father-in-law of the devotee, her name is Kaushalya, the father-in-law was an atheist. And, you know, they would have talks, but he was an atheist. He didn't really listen to anything. But somehow at the end, like within the last 2 weeks, he became a theist. He didn't become a devotee, he didn't become a Christian, but he became a theist. And so these stories are very instructive how to help a dying person, physically also, and emotionally also, but especially spiritually. And then there are pieces by devotees who were confronted by death. Like there's one devotee, she was in the Merrill Lynch building right across from the World Trade Center on 9/11. She was seeing, she saw, you know, saw the plane fly into the building. But the first time they thought, like, you know, maybe like some mistake, and she saw the second one, and she was seeing people like jumping out of windows and like slapping their arms, like trying to not really fly, but like trying to break. There's just some flames everywhere, and then, so, but somehow in the midst of all of that, it went on because, you know. But she had like some very deep realizations about Krishna consciousness. And then there's some adapted from Bhaktivedanta Swami when he was going through the process of dying. So there are many, many, many wonderful pieces in this. So I highly recommend them. Not because I'm the author, because I don't even really consider that I'm the author. But I do feel that they're worthy. Each book sells for $20. That's special. If you get a set of all three, it could be $50 on a side note. And we take credit cards, cash check credit cards. And yeah, so I'll stay here and I'll sign the books, you know, if I do what you need. So thank you for asking. Was it very relevant?